We've been looking at a series for the last little while, and we're going to conclude that today, for now anyway, and we'll be looking at the topic of Christ Jesus, our power. Just like we looked at last, and when we're looking at the identification, our identification with him and our identity before, there was what I call the theoretical and practical side. I want to be a little bit careful about using those terms, theoretical and practical. By theoretical, we don't mean that it's just a theory. What I'm implying when I say that is the doctrinal side of it. Like, what are the truths that are the foundation upon which we can actually walk? And by saying the practical side, it really refers to the walk on those doctrinal truths that God has made so clear in his word. So I wanted to do the same thing with this topic of Christ Jesus, our power. If you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, if we look at what might be known as a doctrinal or theoretical side of Christ Jesus, our power, starts in verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. We were talking about the working of God's mighty power, which verse 20 says he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, in the age to come. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And see that power here very clearly, what it says is that God wrought that power in Christ Jesus. And, you know, we looked at before a couple of things that over the last few months that are what I might be referred to as the backing or of Christ Jesus, our power. We looked at the exalted position of Jesus Christ, which obviously is very, very important when we consider Christ Jesus as our power. We saw, you know, among other things, that God is the one who gave him this authority, as we just read here. He's the one who made him both Lord and Christ. He glorified Jesus. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. God exalted him. He is Lord of all. God declared him to be his son. God put all things under Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ ascended up on high. He's referred to as the fullness of the Godhead, head of all principality and power, seated at the right hand of God, appointed heir of all things by God. God made him higher than the heavens, with all powers being subject to him, and he's referred to as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So that exalted position, obviously, is very, very critical when it comes to looking at Christ Jesus, our power, because God has given him that authority. And then also we considered some of the responsibilities that Jesus Christ has now, being the apostle and high priest of our confession, to replace the line of Aaron, and also called the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, the captain of our salvation, intercessor, mediator, Lord, head of the body, responsible to direct the members of the body, nourish and cherish the church, confirm the word with signs following, appoint ministries, and so forth. Savior of the world, the good shepherd, judge of the living and the dead, responsible to execute God's wrath in a coming age, to reign in the new administration, and responsible for the giving of rewards, among some of the responsibilities. So you see that with all the position that he has and the responsibilities that he has, It's very natural that he is Christ Jesus, our power. In Ephesians chapter 3, again, continuing to look at the doctrinal side briefly. Verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. See, the church is to show God's manifold wisdom. That's what the church does. It shows his great wisdom. According to verse 11, the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, in Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of the accomplished believing of him. He is our power. We have boldness and confidence, and we can have that because of his amazingly exalted position that God gave him. Verse 9:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Why is that power now in us? Because God wrought it in Christ, and we have Christ in us. Now it says that it worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. And so on. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. It's because of Jesus Christ accomplished believing what he did that we have access to power through the work of Christ Jesus. Luke chapter 24. Very familiar verses. Verse 49. And he said, this is when he's gathered with them. He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, talking to the apostles. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he said that Jesus Christ, he was going to send the promise of my Father. And that promise that he was going to be sending was power from on high. Christ Jesus is our power. In fact, he's the one who was responsible for sending the Spirit that is the source of our power. And they told them to go ahead and go to Bethany and so forth. Look at Acts chapter 2, which is the fulfillment of this promise. In Acts chapter 2, verse 29... Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. See again that exalted position. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, you see how that exalted position is the basis for Christ Jesus, our power, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he got it from God, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. There is the fulfillment of the promise that he made in Luke chapter 24. So Christ Jesus is the reason for the power that we had. That's a really, really basic and brief doctrinal look at the doctrinal side of Christ Jesus, our power. Now just to look a little bit at the walk in Luke chapter 4. I'll show you Luke chapter 4. And certainly there's much in the New Testament about this topic, but Luke chapter 4 is interesting along these lines. Luke chapter 4, verse 30. But he passing through the midst of them, by the way, this is when they were trying to throw him off the hill there and kill him. But he passing through the midst of them went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his word. And this is before Jesus Christ was exalted. This is while he was on earth, walking and doing what was responsible for our redemption and salvation. They were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. So even at that time, he was speaking with authority. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. This is the spirit. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who you are. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." You see, the heavenly realm knew of the power and authority of Jesus Christ. And this is before he was exalted. So what about now when he's been exalted? See, at that time he said, "Are you going to destroy us?" Verse 35, "And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold your peace,' and come out of him. And he had to. And the devil had thrown him in the midst. He came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, 'What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out.' And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her." He rebuked the fever, and it left her. You see the power and authority with which he walked before he was exalted to the position we read about in Ephesians chapter 1. And at this, and even at this time, look at the power and authority that he commanded. "And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them, and he healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, 'Thou art Christ, the Son of God.'" Sometimes devils are smarter than some of the people in this world. They knew who he was. "Thou art Christ, the Son of God." You see how the heavenly realm understands the authority even more than most Christian believers do. "And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ." See, they knew that. "And when it was day, he departed into a desert place," and so forth. "Then he went and taught them and preached the gospel throughout Galilee." Look at Acts chapter 3, please. Acts chapter 3. He walked with power and authority. The heavenly realm understood that authority. And then even later, he was exalted to even greater authority. In Acts chapter 3, now some of those men and women who men who believed on him, in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, now who was the exalted one, right hand of God, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John," probably hugging them, "all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?'" He said, Why do you think that it's our power? Why do you think it's our holiness? Why would you think it's us? It isn't. Verse 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son, Jesus. You see how his exalted position, the authority he has now, is why he is our power. It's not by our power and authority. It's by him whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life whom God hath raised from the dead whereof we are witnesses and in his name, through faith in his name, not by our power or holiness. And therefore, in ministering situations, if we think it's by our power or holiness, we could falter. But when we recognize by it's his authority, his power, his name, there's no reason to falter because he is responsible to fulfill the office that God has put him in. Hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him, hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You know, later on when they pray that by the name of thy holy child Jesus, signs and wonders may be done. You see, it's by his power, by what where God has placed him, not by our power or our own holiness. In Acts chapter 9. Nine 32 is where we're going to go. And it came to pass, as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. If I kept my bed 8 years, I'd be sick of the palsy too. 8 years the guy had been in this situation. And he was sick. And Peter said unto him, and listen to what it says here. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. What does it say? Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Not by our own power or holiness. Jesus Christ has a ministry appointed by God to take care of the church. He said he would confirm the word with signs following. That's his responsibility. So here, Peter just calls him on the name of Jesus Christ. It's his job to do it. Aeneas, Jesus Christ, make it thee whole and arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and almsdeeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And as for much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in Peter. No, wait a minute. Many believed in the Lord. See, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. He is the one God has exalted to the position. He's the one God has given the responsibility to take care of the church. And we get the benefit to call on the name of Jesus Christ. And to see what God has promised in his word that we will see. Acts 26. They believed on the Lord. Remember we looked at Christ Jesus is our identity. We walk with his authority. In Acts 26 verse 12. Where am I now? Okay, here we are. I was in the wrong chapter. Verse 12. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven. This is Paul now, when he's telling them about what it, when he got converted, so to speak, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me, and then them which journeyed with me. And when we were fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, from the power of Satan unto the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. You see, Jesus Christ appeared to him and said, Look, I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to help you. He didn't say, Paul, you're on your own. Here you go. You have a ministry. Let's see. No, he said, I will be there. I will appear. He was going to help him. It's his responsibility to help those in the church. He was never going to leave him alone. Look at Acts 16. This is later on when Paul was recollecting what had happened. But in Paul's ministry, just to look at a couple of examples, in Acts 16, verse 16, And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. He had to come out. Even before, remember we looked at Luke, even when Jesus Christ was on the earth, they said, we know who you are, the Holy One of God. Why are you here to destroy us? And that was before he was exalted. Now in his exalted position as head of the church, seated at God's right hand, here Paul calls on his name. And guess what? That spirit had to obey. He had no choice. See, Christ Jesus is our power. He was Paul's power. He was the reason that he could do this. Look at Acts 18. Verse 9. Then spake the Lord in the night by a vision, Be not afraid. This is Paul in Corinth. But speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. What does he say? I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word. You see, Jesus did not leave him. He actively worked with him. He has an active ministry, an active responsibility to take care of the church. He never left him alone. Look at Acts chapter 19. And you can see this throughout his entire ministry. Verse 1, And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, and we haven't even heard about this, and he said unto them, verse 3, Unto what were you baptized? Well, John's baptism. And then, you know, he then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And when divers were hardened, and believed not, but speak evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. So all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought on the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And look at this. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know." So why would this spirit say something like, "And Paul I know"? See, in Luke chapter, when we look at Luke, what did the spirit say? "Look, this, who is this guy? You know, why are you here? Are you going to destroy it? We know who you are, the Holy One of God." And that was before he was exalted. And when he's exalted, he sent the Holy Spirit. Now, all those who have the Holy Spirit within them, Christ in us, as we looked at last week, the hope of our glory, Christ in us, that Spirit. Now here, look what the spiritual realm says. "I know Paul." And guess what? The spiritual realm knows you. They know you. Why? Because they know Christ. Christ is the exalted one. He's seated God's right hand. They understand his authority. So when you use the name of Jesus Christ, the spiritual realm understands that you walk in that authority. But everybody and his mother in the world will try to talk you out of it, will try to talk us out of it, that you don't have the authority. It's by your own holiness. You don't really walk that powerfully because you have sin in your life. You don't study God's word very much. You don't do this and you don't do that and all this. And they said, "Look, it's not by our own power or holiness." Why the heck did God send a Savior in the first place? Because we couldn't do it. And so here they said, "Look, we know Paul. We know Jesus." Yeah, they knew Jesus, all right. And now they also knew Paul. And all those who believe on the Lord Jesus, they understand the spiritual truths that even many Christians don't understand. And, you know, they saw amazing, amazing deliverance in these cases. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Like Paul and others, we are not on our own. We have not been left on our own. We have a Lord who cares for the church and is responsible for the church. And our spiritual authority is based on everything Jesus Christ has done. Not on our ability or our own power, holiness, but on everything Jesus Christ has done. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness." So none of them could see it. "But unto them which are called," both Jews, it doesn't matter who you are, "Christ," what? "The power of God and the wisdom of God." Christ Jesus is our power. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're closing out here again, jumping back a little bit to the doctrinal truths again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And in verse 7, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he," this is Jesus Christ, "said unto me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities.'" Why? Because he was a sadist or a masochist? Sorry, masochist? No. Why? "That the power of Christ may rest upon me." Christ Jesus is our power. See, not him is his ability. Because you trust in your own flesh and the things you do, well, then you're going to see the results of trusting in your own flesh. But when we trust in all that Christ has done, he says, "Therefore," verse 10, "I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, and so forth, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak in my own ability, I am strong in his ability in me, in Christ's ability in me. But if I'm only ever concerned about my ability, my holiness, my, then I will miss all that Christ Jesus is to me. How Christ is our power. So Colossians chapter 2. A couple more verses here. And again, this is another one of those truths that pervades the New Testament. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, that would be the when we got born again and all that goes with it, so now we're to walk in him. We, the doctrinal truths are there. Now we walk in all that he is to us. In verse 9, for in him, Christ, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. See, the reason you can be complete and the reason he's your power, because he of his exalted position as where God put him, head of all principality and power. And we'll close in Ephesians chapter 6. Back to Ephesians. We started in Ephesians. We'll close there. Very simple and wonderful verse in verse 10. I'll read that to you from the Working Translation. It says, henceforth, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his ability. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his ability. Not by our own power or holiness, but the strength of his ability. Christ Jesus is our power. He's our power because of his exalted position and the responsibilities that God has given him. And now we, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, should continue to look to him and his ability within us and not to ours. Okay? God bless.